Hello, you've reached another edition of the LinuxInstall.net podcast. This is episode number 124, recorded on Tuesday, August 26, 2014. Security and the Ohio Linux Fest both rock! On this week's episode, we're going to talk about developing solutions from Microsoft. Yeah, that's really what I talked about. We're going to talk a little bit about Elasticsearch. We're going to talk about Lumina Desktop and why you should secure your communications on your internal network. All of that and more right here on the next LinuxInstall.net podcast. Let's get the show on the road. It asked me twice.
It's really you are live.
I know. Hello and welcome to another edition of the LinuxInstall.net podcast. This is episode number 124. We are recording on Tuesday, August 26, 2014. Almost said the wrong year. My name is Brian Wagner.
And we time travel.
And we're going back to episode 24.
There we go. With me, that voice that you just heard was Mr. Joseph Luzzi.
Good evening, Brian.
And we also have the other voice that you heard was Mr. Walt Giovec.
Hello.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Outstanding.
Are we having fun yet?
Mediocre.
Well, yeah. Okay. I had comments I won't make. Anyways, Walt, what have you been up to this week?
Work.
Yeah?
Work started. Work actually got to do work.
How's that XBMC box coming?
That actually turned out great. Glad I put in the effort. Although, I was waiting. I ended up having to get that M500 Crucial SSD because that was one of the few that worked with the Mac Mini that I have. And it went on a Newegg flash sale 3 days later. For luckily, it was only maybe $4 less than what I paid.
Oh, that's not bad. So,
yeah, it was one of those, you know, situations. But, yep, I had to do the internet install, internet update, patch. But now XBMC runs awesome. They got some nice tie-ins because I'm actually running it on the Mac OS to where if you use the Apple remotes, I got like a super old one, but any of them work, you can reprogram it. So when you hit the menu, it automatically launches it instead of bringing up whatever Apple's media time, whatever that thing was called. And then some of the hardware acceleration stuff, is enabled out of box, a couple other little features. But, yeah, it's ridiculously fast. My Apple TV to scan my media library usually takes a little over an hour, and this machine did it in 7 minutes. So very pleased. I can play with all the cool skins. I can actually leave wallpapers turned on.
So did that go upstairs, or is that downstairs?
No, this is for me. It's sitting right there.
Yep, forget the wife. She doesn't need it.
No, she's good. You know, the only reason why I didn't put it upstairs is she watches Netflix more so than anything else. And although you could run it on it, you'd still have to go to the, Mac OS and do it all through the computer. And those appliances are just too easy to hit the button and be on your way, so.
And there's a lot to be said for too easy, hit the button, be on your way, especially where spouses are concerned.
Yes.
I won't say women, because I have quite a few female friends who have husbands who are the same way my wife is, so.
But
how about, sorry, what else?
Say, other than that, that was my few minutes of free time this weekend, week, whatever you want to call it.
Wow. Well, but still, that's cool. You got to hack some more hardware.
Yeah, and I didn't have to, I did have to buy the hard drive. I was really trying not to buy anything.
Fail.
Well,
how about you, Joe?
I was going to say the same thing like with Walt when he bought that drive. I picked up that 3 terabyte drive last week, and Brian, remember when I texted you about the red drives being on sale?
Yeah.
Well, they went on sale like big time. Like after I had already gotten my black drive in, they went down to like $100.
For a 3 terabyte?
For the 3 terabyte Western Digitals.
Damn it. That's my strike.
And course. I was just like, I think they were like 97 and then there was like some shipping and stuff involved. So I think shipping was like $10 or something. So, but it was still an outstanding price, but I had already gotten the 3 terabyte black in my hand and kind of like what we talked about the last time, I prefer the extra 2-year warranty. And then one of the guys at work was like, he goes, for that price, I just buy 2 Reds. And I was like, shut up already. Just go back to your desk and you're annoying me. I was like, smart ass. Other than that, this week I have been working on automation, documentation, and fun with rotating logs. I'm sure you remember all the log rotation stuff that we do, Brian. Some of the newer servers that... What's that?
I wrote one of the many scripts that...
Yeah, I know.
...we were using.
I will be editing that tomorrow to add in some of the newer pieces of software, because some of the logs on a couple of these servers they're writing to are just getting insane, like 400 megs a day on some servers.
I'm surprised you guys aren't doing log aggregation anywhere. I'm surprised they haven't like wanted to stand up Elasticsearch or any of the other log...
Well, you're talking about things like Splunk, right?
Yeah, Splunk's kind of lost its luster. There's a thing called Elasticsearch, which is kind of geared more towards that, and there's some tools that sit on top of that. That's like the database. And then there's tools that sit on top of that. There's a whole series of open source tools now that do really pretty kick-ass reporting.
I'll have to look at that, because when we did play around with Splunk a year and a half ago, maybe,
yeah,
might have been shortly after you left, it wasn't doing everything that some of the developers wanted it to. So that, yeah. I don't know what, I really didn't, I wasn't working on the whole project or anything, but I remember we stood one up, we had it up for a little bit, and then we just took it down because it just didn't seem like it was giving them what they wanted to. So I'll have to look into this other product that you just mentioned. That
Elastic. Yeah, look at elasticsearch.org. I'll put the link.
All right, that's cool. Thank you. Other than that, just been working. I mean, there's just been so much stuff going on at work. I was working over the weekend as well. Had to be logged in, so I'm open. I have a 4-day weekend this coming weekend, and I'm going to relax and play some games and just do some things around the house that I've been wanting to do for a while.
I forgot we got Monday off. That's awesome.
And I took Friday off, too.
Oh.
And Thursday, I'm working from home.
My day.
Well, see, I'm glad I could turn that frown upside down for you, Walt, today.
Nice. My mediocre status has been updated.
Brian, what you been up to this week in Windows land? Are you keeping the Windows clean, Brian? Are you using Windex?
So I had a client that had a interesting situation. I'm not going to go into details because it's boring as all hell. But they had a situation. They wanted something. They talked to Microsoft. Microsoft told them, well, it seems possible, but we're not sure it can be done. And they were like, really, that's the best answer you can give us? We're paying for premium support for what? So my company had gotten the call, and because I was available, I started working on it. And so it took me 3 weeks, but I did something Microsoft said they weren't sure could be done. And it works awesome. The only problem is I've about killed myself for the last 3 weeks trying to get it to work, because OAuth sucks.
Because you're working with a Microsoft product.
No, OAuth is an open standard, and it just blows. It's very confusing, but we'll talk security stuff here in a few minutes. So because I've been working so hard on that, I really didn't have much time to do anything Linux-wise. And I think, what else I played with?
How's your Pogo plugs running?
Pogo plugs are running awesome. I switched the house over to using the Pogo plugs for DNS and DHCP, and nobody noticed, so that's a plus. And come to think of it, that was one of the things I was going to do this past weekend that totally got dropped because I had to work. So I was going to actually take down my old DNS DHCP server and make sure that everything really has switched over. But
yeah, that whole having to pay bills thing just really sucks.
I know. Well, actually, I'm salary, so I get paid no matter what. Monday, as long as I'm at work Monday through Friday, I get paid. So,
My little box of work still going along good too.
Yeah, I get all those hours too, and it sucks because I have to go start at a new client tomorrow, which means that I'm probably not going to be able to take. Well, I might be able to take off early on Friday. I may not be able to take off early on Friday. I'd really like to, but I'll be in Pittsburgh, so taking off early still means I have 2 hours till like, or an hour and a half till I get home. Oh well, but that's all I did. Unfortunately, not enough Linux stuff. More Linux stuff this week, because I have to start preparing for speaking at Ohio Linux Fest.
There you go.
I will be there on October 25th. We don't know a date yet because they just announced who the speakers were last week. And I'm actually also, I have to prepare two presentations. because I'm a backup speaker in case somebody backs out at the last minute. So I have to come up with not one, but two presentations.
How did you do that? Cool.
I submitted two presentations. I said, I'll do this
one. I remember you said you were submitting two.
And the guy that's running the speaker said, hey, I don't want you to have to do this for two, but could you have a backup presentation ready to go? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So I'll be preparing presentations for both my topics. But I'm not going to practice the second one. It's just going to be, I have some ideas for the second one. So my presentation is going to be on, well, basically the title is Management Says They Want to Do DevOps. So what now? More or less is what the title is. Where do you begin? So I'm going to be talking about how to get started and where you should focus and what you should do. So if you're going to be at Ohio Linux Fest on October 25th, come check it out. I would love to meet you guys. So if you guys find me, even if you don't want to listen to my silly presentation, if you just want to find me at the conference for my session, please stop by and say hi. We would love to talk to you, and I'm sure that one of the cohorts will be somewhere near so that they can heckle me while I'm speaking.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I'm getting heckled. I'm not even worried about it. Yeah, so that's it. Shall we move on?
Let's move on.
Let's move on. Hey, guys, it's birthday week this week. We have
Everybody's getting older.
I already got older. That was the beginning of July. But Debian and Linux both had birthdays this week. Debian turned 21. I thought Walt was going to get me the date. And Linux turned 23 on August 25th. And, so
and Walt gets hit by a bus.
Well, it's more likely to get hit by a farm tractor, but you know. So, yeah, it's hard to believe that it's been 23 years. And I've been doing it for 20, so I only missed the first 3 years. And I was in college for two of the first 3 years. So, kind of interesting. I do remember hearing about it in about 93. And when I think about it now that I have that, so
the
I
16. Started working, it's the 16th.
It was the 16th, is when Debian turned 21.
Yes.
Okay. So I started working at FedEx in 95. And they were already running Linux in production in 95. They were running Slackware, if you can believe that.
I think we were using Macs back then, because I think that's when I was at the comic book store. We had a little Mac network set up playing Doom.
Yeah. Doing real productive work stuff, I see.
Yeah.
It was a comic book store. What the hell do you expect?
Yes, I know. I have several friends that worked at comic book stores, and one of them who managed one, just like you.
Yep.
And, yeah, it was a nice job, if it only been.
Oh, it was definitely a fun job.
It's not a job you work for the money, but it is definitely a job you work for the fun.
And the benefits.
Definitely.
No money at the end of the month.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have eaten either. So Linux is 23 and Debian is 21. I was actually surprised Debian was that old. I thought they would have been a little further apart, but I guess wasn't really thinking about it. That's really cool. See, I put the link for Elasticsearch in there. I don't know why I put it there, but it's in the middle of the thing. Walt was checking out something.
Lumina.
Yeah, I was actually looking through the list of Ohio Linux Fest talks, and one of the discussions was going to be on the Lumina desktop for PCBSD, and I thought, what the heck is that? So went to their website, and they have a little FAQ. It's still very early in development, but the long and short of it is the work necessary to port all the Linux desktops is pretty high. And because they're actually developed on Linux to begin with, they don't take advantage necessarily of all the BSD features that may or may not be available. So the PCBSD team decided they're going to write their own desktop that actually is developed in BSD and takes advantage of all the cool, fun stuff.
So just for those who don't understand, when you say developed in BSD, why would they have to develop in BSD? And I'm pretty sure that's not a programming language.
Well, for the BSD operating system, not the necessarily the language.
So there's a bunch of stuff that's in BSD that's not in Linux and vice versa?
According to the fact, that is true.
Ah, see, even I learned things.
Yeah, the I tried it out, put it in a VM, because the latest version 10.0.2, I believe, was released yesterday or the day before. And as a alternate installation, you can choose the Lumina desktop. It's really boring right now. It basically looks like GNOME did, like, you know, back in the 90s. You got a little drop-down menu. You got a couple of widgets. Nothing blends together smoothly. You know, all the icon backgrounds are different colors. The window designs are squares. You know, there's no nothing that looks nice. But it worked. It's functional. You can open stuff, close stuff. You know, all your basics were basically available. Yeah.
That was the terminal. That's like the program I use the most.
Yeah, not a special terminal. I think it is just opening Xterm. Don't quote me on that, but it didn't look like anything fancy.
That's disappointing. No, because those BSD guys, they do a lot of cool stuff. So.
Yeah, and again, it's, I think, alpha, you know, at this point still. But, yeah, I just kind of wanted to see what it was about. And considering we got another month or so of development before the, or two almost, before the Ohio Linux Fest talk, I will be looking forward to see what they have to say as to some of the benefits or features or, you know.
Did you happen to notice, is it one of the project members that's going to be talking, or is it just a fan talking?
I don't remember.
Okay. Not a big deal. I'm just curious.
Yeah, there's a chance either way, but yeah, I don't remember.
Cool, cool, cool. Something to just keep an eye on and check out and try out. So the next topic that we were going to talk about is a little bit longer topic, but we're going to try to do some shortness to it. Joe and I were talking before the show about securing the internal communications of your networks for your applications, right? Is that how we decided it was going to be?
That was the topic.
So I'm actually about to start a project to do basically this. In securing your applications, what we're referring to is making basically everything talk over some sort of SSL or TLS connection, some encrypted channel protocol between the two. TLS and SSL are by far the most used, and SSL would be the same SSL that had Heartbleed several months ago. That's the same thing. TLS is just transport layer, so it's just a little bit lower layer, but it's all pretty much the same concept. You're going to send, you're going to open a network connection at a very base level, and then you're going to send communications over that base level connection in an encrypted manner. And they all use public key, private key encryption. As far as I can think, I can't think of anything that's not using that. There might be some specific VPN technology that's not using that. But that's the same technology that you use when you connect to a server on SSL. So if you connect to a secured server like your bank or practically any Google product at this point, Google has even gone so far as to even start demoting people in the search ranks if they're not SSL. Because they want to promote people using SSL and securing your traffic. So the benefits are, and this is a fact that a lot of companies want to bury their heads in the sand on, and they don't want to talk about. I guess, wait, before I go any further, I hope that most people know that my background is really in security. I am a CISSP. I'm a Certified Information Security Systems Professional. That's a mouthful. I'm a CISSP.
Say that 10 times fast.
That means that I took a $600 or $700 test that took me 3 hours, four hours? No, it might be more. About 4 hours to complete. And it's a serious test, and it covers a whole bunch of domains and a whole bunch of stuff, everything from law to physical security, like how to secure doors and CCTV cameras. And you have to know a little bit about a lot of stuff. And then everybody has specialties, so then there's specialties inside of there where you can specialize on different stuff. But that's another 4-hour test
almost $1,000. But it is the only certification test that I have ever taken that I was actually proud that I was proud when I got done. I didn't feel dirty and like I was cheap just getting a cert to get a cert. It actually meant it meant something to me. It does mean something to me. It's very, very hard to get. And you also have to have other requirements. You have to be a security practitioner for at least 5 years. You have to have somebody who's willing to sign off that you do know what you're talking about and you're not just an idiot. You just didn't, you know, study so that you could pass the test, that kind of thing. So I was a CISSP back in 2001. Then I let it lapse, and then I just got it back again. So if you do get your cert, just keep it up. It's a pain in the butt to have to study for that test a second time. All right. So anyways, back to the topic. So securing stuff, most people don't realize on corporate networks, or they want to bury their heads in the sand, or they don't want to talk about it. But most hacks happen on the internal network, and they happen by somebody who is either employed by the company or is a consultant to the company, something like that. It's most hacks don't happen from outside the network. There are rare exceptions like, they don't really know where the target hacks happened from. It could have gone either way, but it's more likely that somebody on the inside or somebody who had access to the inside, may not be an actual employee, but somebody who had access to their internal network was probably the most likely vector for somebody to attack target to go after their machines.
Right. I was going to say, I think one of the things that, like you were saying, that people want to bury their heads in the sand and not kind of pay attention to it. I think they try to pay attention to so much to the external perimeter and people actually getting into the network from the outside that they kind of just think, okay, well, the people that we have working here, we can trust, so we really don't need to worry about them.
Right. And there is something to be said about trust.
Right.
But securing your communications between you and the machine is not trusting you. So, you know, you can still get in. Pretty much anybody using Linux uses SSH to connect. That's a secure tunnel, and it's secure communications, and it's really the only way you should be connecting to any Linux boxes with SSH. If you're running a Linux box and you're connecting with Telnet, you're broadcasting your password across the internet. Uh-huh. So anybody between you and your server could potentially pick up your password and then log in. And not only your password, but anything that you do in that session, because Telnet is not encrypted. So SSH is. So something like SSH is actually really easy to set up. The public key, private key stuff works well enough. You can set up keys. That is not what I mean by public private key encryption. Keys are a method in SSH speak of authenticating that you're authentic, and just makes it easier for you to authenticate yourself to the server. Public key, private key encryption is a method for talking between devices. It describes the protocol. I'm not going to go into it because it's really boring. But not only is it really boring, working with certificates sucks a lot. As somebody who works with certificates on a very regular basis, it is a royal pain in the butt. I understand all the technologies. I can actually probably fake a communication with everything except encrypting the packets themselves, because I don't do math that fast. But I know what the protocols look like when they're communicating across the network. But getting the SSL certificates in the right place and the right way, and then trusting them, because it's not just good enough to use a certificate, because I could create what's called a self-signed certificate that's not as secure as buying one from VeriSign or GoDaddy or what, I can never pronounce that company's name, Thwatte. All of those companies are creating certificates based off of a known root certificate. That known root certificate is verifiable by them. They're a third party, so you can verify that that is, when you're communicating with somebody else, whoever the root certificate is, that does that verification. But occasionally, and VeriSign had to do it, and GoDaddy had to do it, occasionally those root certificates get compromised. And when they do, that means everybody who has a certificate based off of that has to replace their certificate. So it gets really complex, and you have to keep track of what certificates are where, what root certificates are where. And they suck. They just suck. There needs to be a better way to do it. I'm not the one to come up with it because I'm not that kind of security person. But it's really, really kind of difficult to get set up. Once you get it set up, it works fine. But it's getting those certificates all in the right place, getting the right certificates in the right spot. All that stuff is what is but is difficult. The benefit is once it's secured, it's really, really hard to hack the packets and figure out what they're doing. And then once everything's secured, because there's so much encrypted traffic, it's really hard for hackers to go after anything. So what else did you want to ask? Nothing.
No, that was a good little chat.
Yeah, I didn't really chat. We just let me ramble.
I put passwords on my stuff.
Yeah. You know, and passwords are great, but if I can see
password is my password.
Yeah, password is my password.
Great. Now I got to change them all. Damn it.
Yeah. I have a lot of different theories on password security, like how secure a password you really need to write. They need to be secure enough. Depends on what it is. But securing the communication is just the best reason for doing it is to make sure that nobody can get into your network and see what's going on. But there's all kinds of other ways. I mean, if you're not restricting access to things like web servers, you're just putting them on secure channels. That doesn't mean you don't still have vulnerabilities. Just because they're running SSL doesn't take away other vulnerabilities that could be there. Like, I don't know, SharePoint servers with lots of really classified intelligence documentation that don't properly control the rights so that people who want to share all those documents with the internet and the world and then run to Russia. That doesn't, you know, that wasn't a matter of not securing the network at an SSL connectivity level. That was not securing the network at a, wow, that's really dumb that anybody in that organization could see all those documents. Or at least that a contractor could see those documents, because it's probably not the best thing. So what else do you guys have? Anything?
That's about it for me.
Yeah, no, that's it.
That's it? I wore you out. I bored the hell out of you, didn't I? Trust me, my presentation is much more interactive than that.
We were trying to help you prepare for October. This was just a first run through. I thought it was very good.
Thanks.
See, and we didn't even heckle you today. So next week we'll practice it with heckling.
With heckling. Sweet. I'm hoping they're going to videotape my presentation. They made us all agree that they could.
I'll do it if not.
Well, I got my video camera and I got you guys, so I got at least one video camera. I'm sure I know at least one other person with a video camera.
Too bad you couldn't stream it out live somehow to like a Google Hangout.
I know, that would be really cool. We'll have to talk about that. I'll have to ping the speaker guy and see what they're planning on doing.
Hotel bandwidth is notoriously crap, so.
Yeah, that's true.
And I was thinking about doing it with a MiFi, but then I was like, yeah, wireless signal in general is going to be pretty bad. And in that building, I don't remember testing to see if we actually had connectivity. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I
can't remember. I can't remember either.
I used my computer once for like 4 minutes.
Yeah, I used my phone a couple of times. I have notes from last year's Ohio Linux Fest, but that's it. All right, so let's just wrap this up. Don't forget, you can follow us over on the Twitters. We are at Linux Install on Twitter. We have a wonderful and thriving community over on Google+, so plus.google.com/plus Linux Install net. And you can check out what Walt's doing over at gvec.com, what Joe's doing over at whatimplayingnow.com. That would be the podcast he was referring to at the beginning or at some other point. And then I'm doing this other thing called devopsmastery.com. It's been a little slow because I'm having trouble connecting with people to actually produce my podcasts. It's the problem with having a co-host.
We are,
and of course, what?
We are problematic.
All of you. All three of you. Yes. Ohio Linux Fest, for those interested, is October 24th and 25th. 24th is mostly learning tracks, training courses and stuff like that. But they're pretty steeply discounted. So if you can get to Columbus, Ohio, for October 24th and 25th, I highly recommend it. Myself and our previous co-host, Mr. Greg Martin, are both presenting on Saturday. We don't know times or details or anything of that nature yet. Probably won't know that till like if we're lucky, the week before. So I don't know if I'm presenting after lunch or before lunch, which is always fun. And let's see. So there's that. And I think that's it. Let's see. Walt, what should everybody go do?
Go install some Linux.
There you go. Bye, everybody.
Have a good week.
See ya.
This has been a production of LinuxInstall.net. All original content produced in this podcast is released under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License. Please feel free to redistribute it to your friends.